Okay, today we're going to talk about why sometimes employees don't care or don't use the things you work really hard to create and put together. I'm talking about your book club, your career mapping, your cat day, your hat day, your crazy taco day. And employees are like, meh. And you're like, really? What do you want? Well, I'm going to tell you what they want, because today we're going to talk about the employee hierarchy of needs. And if that sounds a little familiar, let's back up and remember Maslow's hierarchy, because it's basically sort of the same thing. It's what we learned in school, where you can't worry about being your highest self, living your best life, if you don't have food, water, and shelter and clothes, you know? You're not going to be in your mansion doing your thing, living to your highest passion, if you're naked and afraid and starving out in the woods. Often what I see happens is the CEO will tell HR, I need you to do career mapping, which sounds all nice and great, but who cares about a path to grow at a company where they don't even know what's expected of them at work, like in their current role day to day? It's the same as putting together and building an amazing roof on the ground and gathering around all your employees and saying, look, you needed a roof to be kept safe. And the employees are like, that's great, but where are the walls? In fact, the walls would be sinking into the mud. Where's the foundation? I see a thunderstorm coming off in the distance and I need shelter. So like, can you figure this out quick? Otherwise, I gotta go find another house. See, we work on things in the wrong order and it doesn't mean anything to employees, and it's a huge energy and financial expense, and it was kind of all for nothing because people leave anyway, and that costs your company money when you have turnover. Remember, this show is brought to you by a very formerly disengaged employee, and this perspective is so much different than the other HR advice that you're going to get, because I'm blending how employees perceive what you're doing with the executives and how they force you to do weird stuff that you kind of have a feeling in your gut is not quite right. And you're in a tough, tricky position because you need to keep your job, but you're kind of in like the disengagement sandwich with executives at the top and employees on the bottom, and everyone's like, give us what we want. And you're like, ah! So you try to listen to everyone and do a little mix of everything and work on the loudest problems, and whatever you do, it just seems to flop. And here's why. The employee hierarchy of needs are basic emotional feelings that need to be met for your employees that need to build on each other for you to go to the next level. So I'm going to link out to this in the show notes. You should check it out, screenshot it, copy paste, whatever, into a deck, show your executives, but keep it, because when you're deciding what to work on, this is what you should be looking at to make sure that you're doing something that's going to have great impact before just jumping into a project. So I'm going to say numbered statements from 1 to 12, and I want you to visualize moving up the pyramid. Okay, we're starting at the very bottom. The very bottom of the pyramid is, I know what's expected of me at work. That's number one. Number two, I have the materials and equipment I need to do my work right. Number three, at work, I have the opportunity to do what I do best every day. Number four, in the last 7 days, I have received recognition or praise for doing good work. Number five, my supervisor or someone at work seems to care about me as a person. Isn't this stuff kind of pitiful? You're like, oh my God, I hope so. But actually, sometimes this stuff doesn't, it goes unmet. Number six, there's someone at work who encourages my development. Number seven, at work, my opinion seems to count. Number eight, the mission or purpose of my company makes me feel my job is important. Number nine, my associates or fellow employees are committed to doing quality work. Number 10, I have a good friend at work. Sometimes this is, I have a best friend at work, and people will say like, yeah, throw that question out. Work and friend, personal life should be separate. You do need a best friend at work, because the best friend part, it's not for like throwing daisies up in the air and being like, let's plan a vacation. That one's one of the most critical, because that is actually your person who is psychologically safe. That's the other employee where you can say, was that meeting weird or is it just me? I got these really messed up goals and I don't feel like I can even achieve these. And they can say, oh, that just happened to me too. Or like, yeah, those goals are weird. That's ridiculous. Why would they think there's enough time for you to do all that? Whatever. That is not a throwaway need. That often in the engagement survey, people are like, throw that out. I'm like, no, that's one of the most important ones. People need someone to process their emotions with who is not their boss. Okay, two more. We're getting to the very tippy top of the pyramid. Number 11, in the last 6 months, someone at work has talked to me about my progress. And finally, number 12, this is career mapping. This last year, I've had opportunities at work to learn and grow. Okay? So, like I said in the beginning, who cares about a path to grow if the way that the work gets done is very naked and afraid, alone in the woods, survivor style, free for all? And you might be thinking, how do I figure out where my people land right now? Well, the beautiful thing is Gallup, who created this employee hierarchy of needs, they have studied the workforce for 4 decades, and they know very clearly, I think they're a very respected authority, one of the best when it comes to talking about engagement. These 12 statements are basically, you flip it, it's your engagement survey. So I know what's expected of me at work, scale of 1 to 5, scale of 1 to 10. And focus on anything that didn't get glowing results, which is probably that first basic need. That's where you start. You send a follow-up pulse survey question and you ask your employees, what would it look like for you to know what's expected of you at work? And they'll tell you in their own little backwards way that maybe you have to reverse engineer a little bit, or maybe they'll be very direct. They'll say, we have too many meetings and we leave with no answers. But most of the time you'll get these responses that you need to think through and reverse engineer a little bit. Like it'll be any combination of there's way too much work, I'm so burned out, my deadlines are super unclear, my boss interrupts me all day for updates on things. They also ask me to log in some of our tools. So like, why aren't they just looking at the report that they're asking me to put together every week that they share in the all hands? True story. Or another thing they'll say is, you know, I got my goals maybe halfway through the quarter. Companies need to stop doing that. If you don't ship them on time, make the goals more achievable, or just don't give goals that quarter and break it down and say, we messed up. But goals are often shipped late and then they're confusing and the quarters already have eaten up and employees panic because either nothing's weighing on it and maybe it doesn't even matter, they're not incentivized, or their bonus is resting on something that you gave them late, which tells them an underlying message that you don't care, even though that's not true. It's how it comes across. Sometimes employees will say, I wish we had goals, which I personally very proudly did once on an engagement survey and wished I wouldn't have, because then we entered into this confusing goal setting era. But I asked, can we please have goals? Which is the equivalent of a child saying, may I please have chores? Because I need structure. I need to know what the days are going to be like. And this is what happens when employees have no sense of done or no sense of what to say no to. This could also be a values issue. Do your values, you know, are they used as a framework to make decisions? Employees need your values to say, hey, no, we do quality over speed, stuff like that. So there's not too much work. Because when everything's a fire drill and everything is just the loudest thing and everyone work on everything at once, employees don't like that. I'm telling you, as a very formerly disengaged employee who was a D1 athlete, I played all the instruments, I got good grades. At times, I was a very high performer when I wasn't upset or exhausted. A lot of what's driving disengagement is the way the work gets done is so busted on projects. The projects and the work isn't that hard. We spend a majority of the time trying to figure out what the heck is going on. So after about 6 months of being the new employee, you really settle into your disengagement seat because it's a coping mechanism. You're like, nothing matters. Nothing makes sense. People do whatever they want. No one does low quality work on purpose. They're just trying to survive. And it's really hard sometimes to even get out of bed. I said it. It's true. Sometimes it's hard to get out of bed. It's happened to me. It's happened to my friends. And we've all supported each other through various bad bosses or too much work. This has happened to me at all levels of organizations, and it usually boils down to a few very fixable issues. Okay, side note, because in editing this show, I'm realizing I need to add this part in. The examples that I give in this episode are not frontline worker specific, but this definitely applies if you have frontline workers. I personally have been a frontline worker at a hotel, and I've also worked in healthcare where I may have been a knowledge worker, but I was around a lot of housekeepers who cleaned hospital rooms. And so this hierarchy of needs definitely applies to you too. So change the examples to what I'm about to say to how your frontline workers feel with a lot of the manual outdated processes and writing things down on paper and maybe a manager who's instilled some fear on the team, or they're not running the team very efficiently, but you're throwing them a cake day or we appreciate you day. And they're like, can you appreciate me by taking a little better care of me for what it's like to work here every day? So if you have frontline workers, I just wanted to add in that this absolutely applies to you too. You have another layer. So your frontline workers, your knowledge workers, whoever's at corporate, whatever service or industry you're in, this is definitely 100% still applicable to you too. Okay. All right. Back to what I was saying. I was about to give you the cheat codes. Ready? Boop, boop. I'll just give you the cheat codes as a former employee. It's either a mix or a mishmash of the following. Your company values aren't good, or they're not being used, and or they're not being used as a framework to make decisions on what to do with how much work there is, or the quality, or how to handle the brilliant jerk and how they're behaving. You need to have goals in place. They need to be written in a way that makes sense for employees. We'll do that in a future episode. But they also need to be given on time. There's a lack or misuse of project management software, and it's the Wild West. There's no structure and there's no accountability, so people kind of just do whatever they want, and that's not cool. And if you use a messaging app, whether it's Microsoft Teams or Slack, it's definitely being misused and causing anxiety because everyone's using it to accidentally interrupt each other and bump into each other's psyches online to ask for clarity on improperly scoped projects. So everything's happening too fast, too much, and there's a deep sense of fear of being seen as not capable or not responsive or not on top of it. So we're just in these messaging apps all day, like either talking about how confused we are or trying to give clarification to someone who's confused about something that we've barely had time to think through either. And it's just constant interruptions. Nobody's on top of it, but also no one's been given permission to fall apart and help you figure out a better way. This is why driving engagement is so hard. Full circle to some other episodes, you have your magical gift of empathy. You know something's not right, but how would you have any idea that any of this is unfolding on Teams? Because Gallup also says 70% of the employee experience, which is the little mini moments that interact for every employee on every team, those mini moments that are busted are what causes disengagement. That 70% is the relationship between the employee and their manager. It's their day-to-day. You can't be there for every employee's every day where you're sitting behind them like, how was that? Did you like that? How was that meeting? Was that dumb? How's that project feeling? You feel like you have any hope, prayer, or dream, or any of the resources you need to make that happen? Also, do you even know what to do? You can't be there. That's why you can't figure out what to work on. That's why you need to get great at surveys. When you're not letting survey data guide what you're working on against the employee hierarchy of needs to make sure you're working on the right thing in the right order so that you have the most impact, that's when your CEO slots in and is like, work on career mapping. And you're like, ugh, well, I kind of really don't know what else will work. So sure, let's do career mapping. And you put in all this work and effort and then it flops. Or you put in all this work and effort and everyone's still disengaged and you're like, what is it gonna take? What am I doing wrong? That was so hard. You're playing HR whack-a-mole all day. You need to use surveys to figure out what's up. I can't tell you what's gonna drive engagement at your company. I can teach you how to think about it in a way that will work for your company. The answers lie with your people. Your employees will tell you everything you need to know. Their survey responses are the answers to the disengagement test. It's not a wave of negative feedback that's going to blow your hair back and make you feel terrible about yourself. You, my friend, have a workforce that's talking to you. If you have negative feedback, let's go. You will build trust with your employees, even when they're disengaged, by asking them what it's like to work for your company. And when they tell you, you own the results and say, hey, thank you for your feedback. We're going to need more, but you're helping me do my job. My job is to make your experience working here better. So thank you and continue to tell me through these surveys what it would look like to da 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 da. When you get negative feedback from your employees, you're going to want to shut down, call it quits. You're going to think you failed and think that HR is not the path for you. You're going to want to hang it up. But remember, Christy told you, negative feedback is a gift. It's your employees begging you to help make some positive changes because they do want to stay. I promise if they're talking to you, they still have hope. So when you get that negative feedback, you think, excellent, great. We've still got their attention in a way that we can still turn around this culture. You will demonstrate that you mean business this time when you get your CEO on board to how this drives more revenue. I mean, sometimes it's like, duh. They're like, tell me exactly. And you're like, well, let me remind you the golden rule, friend. because you forgot and you're so focused on money, but I get it. Childhood trauma, yada, yada. But when you get your CEO on board and you start demonstrating this transparency and this communication around this power of vulnerability, like Brené Brown says, like, just talk about the elephant in the room. Your employees just want to know that they're not crazy. Because if you're not owning the conversation and at least talking about it, I guarantee you they're all talking about it on Slack and Teams and they're bonding over it. And you don't want employees bonding over disengagement. But if they're seeing a change in behavior, they'll give you a third, fourth, fifth, and 274th chance because they're seeing some kind of momentum in the direction of where they want to see things head. And they're not used to that. Most companies, it's either great or it's awful. If they don't see any kind of hope, they will leave. But if they have hope, they'll hang on and they'll be like, I'm paying attention. Okay. So those solutions I suggested were just for that bottom rung. I can do another episode on what my suggestions would be for every part of the pyramid. I've done a webinar on that in the past. If you want me to do that episode, send me a message. But this is also an example where you can use ChatGPT. I've talked about this on webinars. If you get data in a very qualitative way from your surveys and employees are just telling you in their own words everything that's wrong and you have a bunch of employees, the quantitative stuff is easy to measure. It's numbers. The qualitative stuff is nuanced, messy, tricky business rooted in keywords and psychology. It's hard to always decode and have the time to go deep because you're constantly being interrupted. Okay, so copy paste everyone's responses, go into ChatGPT and say, I just sent out this employee survey. Here's what everyone said. What are the patterns? You're not just going to blindly take that for Bible, but you're going to at least have an idea of what was said so that as you're reading the responses, you're like, oh yeah, there it is again. We seem to have a management issue. Oh yeah, there it is again. We have a meetings issue. If you have a problem with any of these, first of all, contact me immediately because I can work with your company to help fix this. You're not crazy. Okay, a lot of this, again, is out of your hands. Of course it's hard for you to drive engagement because you're not there. If you want to drive engagement, you need to refer to the employee hierarchy of needs. And you do that with your engagement survey. You figure out where the glaring issues are, start at the bottom of the pyramid, and use pulse surveys to go a little bit deeper and figure out specifically what needs to be fixed so that you're working on things in the right order. Career mapping sounds awesome. I love that for you. Your employees do need that eventually, but they're likely not ready for it. And they don't want it if it's chaos and anarchy in the day-to-day. So make your employees feel your emotional statements in the right order so that they will be ready for career mapping. And they're more willing to receive it and say, yes, thank you. I'm excited for this because I actually see myself using this because I'm going to stay because I like the way you treat me. Okay, nobody wants a roof when the rainstorm is coming and there's no foundation or walls. It doesn't make sense. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to me on LinkedIn. I will not say, oh my gosh, what is wrong with you? That is so stupid. How could you not know this? I would love to talk to you. No question is too big, too small, or too stupid. Honestly, no one's explained this at all. And I volunteer as tribute. So, let's have a conversation. Thank you for listening. Continue listening. Give me your feedback. And I'll talk to you next week.